thought that the case held his money was not, however, what then concerned him. But that which made him jump was the recollection that it contained the precious document, the loss of which was irreparable, as it carried with it that of all his hopes. "Botheration," said he. And at the moment, cost what it might to recapture his case, Torres threw himself in pursuit of the guariba. He knew that to reach such an active animal was not easy. On the ground he could get away too fast, in the branches he could get away too far. A well-aimed gunshot could alone stop him as he ran or climbed, but Torres possessed no firearm. His sword knife and hoe were useless unless he could get near enough to hit him. It soon became evident that the monkey could not be reached unless by surprise. Hence Torres found it necessary to employ cunning in dealing with the mischievous animal. To stop, to hide himself behind some tree trunk, to disappear under a bush, might induce the guariba to pull up and retrace his steps, and there was nothing else for Torres to try. This was what he did, and the pursuit commenced under these conditions. But when the captain of the woods disappeared, the monkey patiently waited until he came into sight again, and at this game Torres fatigued himself without result. "Confound the guariba," he shouted at length. "There will be no end to this, and he will lead me back to the Brazilian frontier. If only he would let go of my case. But no, the jingling of the money amuses him. Oh, you thief, if I could only get hold of you." And Torres recommenced the pursuit, and the monkey scuttled off with renewed vigor. An hour passed in this way, without any result. Torres showed a persistency which was quite natural. How without this document could he get his money? And then anger seized him. He swore, he stamped, he threatened the guariba. That annoying animal only responded by a chuckling which was enough to put him beside himself. And then Torres gave himself up to the chase. He ran at top speed, entangling himself in the high undergrowth, among those thick brambles and interlacing creepers, across which the guariba passed like a steeplechaser. Big roots hidden beneath the grass lay often in the way. He stumbled over them and again started in pursuit. At length, to his astonishment, he found himself shouting, "Come here, come here, you robber," as if he could make him understand him. His strength gave out, breath failed him, and he was obliged to stop. "Confound it," said he, "when I am after runaway slaves across the jungle, they never give me such trouble as this. But I will have you, you wretched monkey. I will go, yes, I will go as far as my legs will carry me, and we shall see." The guariba had remained motionless when he saw that the adventurer had ceased to pursue him. He rested also, for he had nearly reached that degree of exhaustion which had forbidden all movement on the part of Torres. He remained like this during 10 minutes, nibbling away at two or three roots, which he picked off the ground, and from time to time he rattled the case at his ear. Torres, driven to distraction, picked up the stones within his reach and threw them at him, but did no harm at such a distance. But he hesitated to make a fresh start. On one hand, to keep on in chase of the monkey with so little chance of reaching him was madness. On the other, to accept as definite this accidental interruption to all his plans, to be not only conquered, but cheated and hoaxed by a dumb animal, was maddening. And in the meantime, Torres had begun to think that when the night came the robber would disappear without trouble, and he, the robbed one, would find a difficulty in retracing his way through the dense forest. In fact, the pursuit had taken him many miles from the bank of the river, and he would even now find it difficult to return to it. Torres hesitated. He tried to resume his thoughts with coolness, and finally, after giving vent to a last imprecation, he was about to abandon all idea of regaining possession of his case, when once more, in spite of himself, there flashed across him the thought of his document, the remembrance of all that scaffolding on which his future hopes depended, on which he had counted so much, and he resolved to make another effort. Then he got up. The guariba got up too. He made several steps in advance. The monkey made as many in the rear, but this time, instead of plunging more deeply into the forest, he stopped at the foot of an enormous ficus, the tree of which the different kinds are so numerous all over the upper Amazon basin. To seize the trunk with his four hands, to climb with the agility of a clown who is acting the monkey, to hook on with his prehensile tail to the first branches, which stretched away horizontally at 40 feet from the ground, and to hoist himself to the top of the tree, to the point where the higher branches just bent beneath its weight,